Parsha Shlach begins with Moshe Rabbeinu telling the spies different questions to look for, different aspects to check out the land. And he said, ascend here in the south and climb the mountain, see the land, how is it? And the people that dwells in it, is it strong or weak? Is it few or numerous? And how is the land in which it dwells? Is it good or is it bad? And how are the cities in which it dwells? Are they open or are they fortified? And how is the land? Is it fertile or is it lean? Hashveinahim arza. Are there trees in it or not? And the exact Hebrew translation is Hayeshba Eitz Imayim, singular, tree. You shall strengthen yourselves and take from the fruit of the land. The days were the seasons of the first ripe grapes. And they ascended and they went up and they arrived ultimately at the valley of Eshkol, cut from there a vine with one cluster of grapes and bored in double pole and of pomegranates and of the figs. I'd like to focus in on Pasuk Kaf in particular, and raise what's seemingly a very obvious question. Pasuk says, in the whole gamut of what they're looking for, the final, the grand finale question of Moshe Rabbeinu is, Hayesh ba'etz imayin, is there a tree or not? So the question itself doesn't make sense in looking at the rest of the pasuk, of be strong and take from the fruits of the land. Well, obviously, if Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them to take from the fruits of the land, there must be a fruit in the land. And if there's a fruit in the land, there must be trees. Trees, fruit goes on trees. So within the same pasuk, it's hard to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu means, Hayesh ba'etz imayin, and what land doesn't have trees. And again, it doesn't say trees, plural. It doesn't say Hayesh ba'etz seem, it's Hayesh ba'etz imayin. Is there a tree or not? So the question we have to understand is, what is really the question that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking in Hayesh ba'etz imayin? And further, we need to understand, within this context, why the Chumash tells us that the days were the season of the first ripe grapes. What is the connection between the first ripe grapes and Hayesh ba'etz? So before we take a look at the two levels that we are going to examine, let's just take a look at some Parshanut HaMikra. The Rechaim HaKadosh in source number 3. Perush Shem Hamin, Im Yesh Ba Kol Min Eit, Im Ayin. Perush Im Yesh Eit Sheinonim Saba, Vahu Ma'amar HaKatuv, Lo Techzar Koba. What Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is, I want you to see that there's no species of tree that's missing. I want you to notice which, look around and see. You'll see the oak tree and the sycamore tree and the cedar tree. Look around and you will see that nothing. Hayesh ba'etz imayin. Is there anything missing among the trees? No, there's nothing missing to appreciate the land. Rav Hirsch, source number 5. Rather, hayesh ba'etz means that the land also contained forests besides fields and orchards. In forested regions, industry inevitably develops since other sources of livelihood like agriculture and sheep and cattle breeding are lacking. So Hayesh ba'etz means, is there a cluster of trees? Is there a forest? That's what etz, like, right, the royal we, so to speak. That's what Hayesh ba'etz is. Al-Shechad Kadosh, source number 4, Taurus Moshe, says something very fascinating. The Medrash says that when Klai Yisrael left Egypt, Ikrua Knanim Kol Eitz Machal Shem Eretz Yisrael, the Canaanites who lived in Eretz Yisrael uprooted every tree. Ba'al Yanu Yisrael Mehem, because they didn't want the Jewish people to enjoy the trees. That's why Hashem kept them in Egypt, in the desert for 40 years, so that the trees would be able to grow back. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, look, see if the land is fertile or not. You will see, this is a really fertile land. And yet, Hayesh ba'etz, is there a tree in there? Remind, or not? You will notice that there are very few trees. Hey, you'll ask yourself, why is it? If it's such a fertile land, and there's a lot of sources of water, and it seems to be a land that will grow food, then how come there's so few trees? And the reason is because the Canaanites were afraid of us, or are afraid of us. Ah, that should be an impetus to say that we can go in and conquer them, because if we have the upper hand, they're afraid of us, and that already should give the miraculum that boost to say, you know, we're able to conquer the land, and we're able to go in. So Hayesh ba'etz imayin is the grand finale question, because that's like the, you know, it doesn't matter if they're fortified cities or not. Look how many trees there are. And you know the reason why there are no trees. They're afraid of us. That will give us the ability and the go-ahead to be able to conquer the land. The Be'er Moshe in source number 9 also deals with why is this the grand finale question. And he says it has to be Vayikar Hiya Sheila Ruchani. this question has to be of a spiritual nature if this is going to be the last question. All the other questions are technical questions. Fortified cities, not fortified cities. Strong, weak. The final question is, having that entire picture of what the land looks like on the topographical, geological level, let's ask one question. Hayesh ba'etzi mayin. What's this question? So Rashi tells us, let's take a look back in source number 7. Rashi says the following, based on the Midrash. Im yesh bahem adam kasher shiagin alei b'zchuto. Hayesh ba'etz, the grand finale, is the spiritual question, as the Rebbe Moshe pointed out. It's the question, Rashi says, is there an adam kasher, an upright person, who in his merit will protect the people and stopping us from being able to conquer the land? Chazal hotziya tamila mipshuta. Chazal take the pasuk out of its normal interpretation. And Rashi is a Pashtun. He doesn't interpret tree as tree, because this is a crazy question. What land doesn't have a tree? Particularly b'loshon yochi. And it pasuk says, and take of the fruit of the land. Ela shakavanahi al eitz adam. Ki adam eitz asadeh hara'ui la'gein aleihem. Rather, it's talking about the tree of the field. Man is compared to the tree of the field, the pasuk in Shoftim, and that's the question. Do they have the eitz, capital, the towering tree, that will protect them from us being able to enter? And that, says the Bir Moshe, was Moshe Rabbeinu's concern, that we may have all the ability as spies to come and conquer the land on a physical level. But if Hayesh Ba'etz, if they have that tree, if they have that protection of that Atam Kasher, of that upright, upstanding person, then all of our military tactics, everything we plan on doing, will not be able to be successful, and we will not meet with success. And indeed, if we move just for a moment to the next page, to source number 10, the Birkas Mordechai, Rav Hezrachi, points out, Mavhil atarayon. This is astounding to think. Lo yo'ilu, nothing's going to help. Lo Moshe, the asterisk in 15. Lo Aaron, lo Nisim, lo Shvatim. The schus of Moshe, the schus of Aaron, the schus of the Shvatim. Lo Torah, lo Ritzono Shabaro, Bore Olam. Not the Torah, not the will of God. The Kol Kach Lama, Mishum Shekayam Sham Sadik HaMagim No Torah. This tzaddik that's protecting his city is so great that this can be the only thing that will have the potential to stop us from entering the land. Ki atzadik magen al daro gam al ka'elu shebeinam uveino muma. Even if the people are not deserving. So now, my friends, we have to ask ourselves the following question. We understand now that Hayesh Ba'etz on the first level, Im Ayin, is referring to, is there an Adam Kasha? Is there a spiritual person that is protecting the city or not? And if there is, it won't matter. Hashem promising us the land and all of the schusim and all the merits of Klal Yisrael, going to Shofet, they won't be able to be successful. So on this, we now have to ask ourselves, A, who is this person? Right? Who has this greatness? B, what is this ability to have a schus to protect the entire nation? If we take a look at Stone, 10 tzaddikim weren't able to protect the entire city of Stone. What is it about this one person that's going to be able to protect the entire land? And on this level, we also need to understand for our own lives, on some level, even though it's highly up there, so to speak. In what way, what are the dynamics that enables a tzaddik to protect the nation? And what lesson can we, each and every one of us, who perhaps are not on that level of tzaddikim, able to glean for our lives? So we'll start with Hegyon Levav in source number 10, who points out our question, Yesh li bonei b'stom? We find that Stone, they needed 10 tzaddikim just to save the city. And here one person is saving the entire land. And what's on the back of our heads is Noah. Noah is an ish tzaddik, and he isn't able to save the world. So there's obviously some condition. Just being a tzaddik is just not enough to fill out on the application form of, saving the world application. Not too many of us have received such an application, but if you were, there's obviously more credentials you need than just check the box of being a tzaddik or tzaddikus. So here, he quotes here the Rabbi Chaim in source 10, the Ramban on his Drushos Rosh Hashanah, that there is a concept of a tzaddik bedina, that a person can be exonerated in a particular judgment, and even though they're not the classic tzaddik as we understand, you know, the long bird sitting off in a spiritual ivory tower, they are not guilty of a particular aspect that they need to be punished with everyone else. And therefore, in Sdom, there weren't even 10 people who were tzaddik bedina. If there were 10 people who didn't deserve to be destroyed in that city, Hashem would have saved the city. But again, none of these individuals were worthy of being called a tzaddik in a general sense. They were just not worthy of having to be killed in this particular area. Enough of them together could have protected the city. While we're talking here about this individual, this Adam Kasher, is the caliber of a tzaddik the way we normally understand it, and therefore wasn't a tzaddik in a very specific micro way, but rather was a tzaddik in a macro way, and therefore able to save the city. Well, who is the tzaddik? So Chazal tell us, source number 11, Rav Shua Bar Iyov. Moshe Rabbeinu, there's many discussions going about Vashra, when did Iyov live, if indeed he did live. So Moshe instructed the Meraglim to investigate Eretz Canaan and find out, among other things, are there trees or not? This is a strange question to ask about a land which God had described as a land flowing with milk and honey. And indeed, if we just look back up to source number 8, we see that later on, when Kalev and Yeshua come back and say, Saratzi Lamaleihem, their shadow has left them, is a reference to Iyov, who was their protection, who had died at that particular time. So they were saying is, we can't go in. So, therefore, Rava takes the word eight as an allusion to Iyov, listen closely, who lived in the land of Utz. Utz and eights are similar words. So who is this individual that we're talking about? It's none other than Iyov. Hayesh ba'etzimayin is the Utznik in the land, right? We call people by the name where they come from. For example, the Stipler. Right? The Stipler wasn't his name. He was from a place called Stiple, and they call him the Stipler Rebbe, right? So the Bostoner Rebbe, from Boston. So this isn't the Utzer Rebbe, because he wasn't necessarily a Rebbe, but this is an Utzer Adam Kasher. He comes from Utz, Ha'etz Ba'etz. Is the Stipler home? Is the Utznik in the land? Is the Eitznik in the land? And he was asking Meraglim to find out if Iyov was still alive. And the Chazal say, Yeshno lo'oso adam shishnotav aruchot ka'et, whose life is long as a tree is high, and was a protection for his generation as a tree gives shade. So the quality that Iyov has is this quality of long life. Again, the title of the shir, the towering tree, that of shade, that of protection. What Moshe meant thereby was, if the tzaddik Iyov was still alive, his righteousness and influence may be a protection for the present inhabitants of the land and may prevent Jewish people from conquering it. And this protective tree would be for the entire region in which he lived. Indeed, if we note in source number 12, the old Moshe quotes the Karen Orah, who says that this imagery of a tree, right? So one idea is from Eretz Utz, and that's why he's referred to as Eitz. Another imagery is that a tree is a very good description, very good symbolism of what a tzaddik does, the protective nature of a tzaddik. So he protects the people. Another way to look at this imagery of a tzaddik compared to a tree, it's found, again, this Karen Orah that the Ohr Moshe brings, and he says the following. Chazal say, Im Tamid Chacham Hagunhu, if a Tamid Chacham, a wise person, a scholar, is worthy, Mimena Tochal Voto Lo Tichro, eat of his fruit, and he will not be destroyed. So the Karen Orah on this writes, Nirela Faresh, Kemosha Eitz Machal Nani Mimena Ba'alav Mipiryav, just like a person will be able to enjoy the fruit of the tree. And you do whatever is needed. You prune the tree, you water the tree in order for it to grow and to continue to produce fruit. Keno Tamar Chacham, likewise with the scholar. Im Nanim Imenu Upri Torah Tau, if people enjoy the fruit of his Torah, Upri Ma'asava Tovim, and they benefit from his good deeds that he does, Mosifim Lo Milamala Chacham Obina, Hashem Kivyachu waters him with more wisdom and understanding, Vaskel, Laman Yabupe Ratau, Vayulamachal, that he will be able to continue to produce and continue to be able to give the people what they need. So this idea of a scholar, of an Adam Kasher being compared to a tree, is a very apt description. Because the whole point of a righteous person is to be able to bear fruit, to be able to influence others, to be able to inspire others, to be able not just to be protection, but to actually give to other people. And in doing so, Hashem ensures that this person will continually be watered, continually be able to have the ability to spread more fruit year after year. Indeed, the Vasuki Midrash, quoting the Satmar Rebbe, the Divrei Yoel, points out that this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was really telling the spies, like they were going to go into the land and they were going to find an Adam Kasher. Like, what do you do, start knocking at every door? Are you a righteous, upstanding person? Are you? Like, how are you going to find this out? He says, look at their fruit. See if there are upstanding, righteous people. See if there are pockets of people with morals and values. And see who is their influence. See who is their mentor. And then from the students, you'll be able to see who that tree is. Otherwise, like, you know, how do you find that? And he says, this explains the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in the fifth chapter that says, see the difference between the students, the Talmidav of Amar Avinu, to the Talmidav of Bilam HaRasha. The students of Amar Avinu compared to the students of Bilam HaRasha, the wicked Bilam. So you take a look at this Mishnah and you ask the obvious question. Hello, let's start with, what's the difference between Amar Avinu and Bilam? Why are we talking about their students? And the answer is that an individual themselves can fool many, many people. And they on the outside can look very, you know, from like Esav. You saw him down the street, you'd think he was a Kreshev Talmud Chacham, and he was to a certain degree. How do you know, really, if a person is true, and if a person is who they say they are? You see their students. You see what comes from them. You see the fruit. Because they, who are very intimate with the person, are able to see them and see if they're two-faced and see and really be able to take the messages that the person is trying to give over. So the real litmus test of the success and or who the person is not looking at the person themselves, but to see how the person has influenced others, to see how others have followed in their ways, whether children, whether students, whatever it may be. Even though children, it's very difficult because they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree except in hurricane winds, and today we're dealing in hurricane winds. And it's a challenge. The fruit is where we can be able to get a sense of who they are. So now, friends, let's summarize what we've seen till now, and now let's get into the core of this first level. Hayesh ba'etim ayin, very strange question. It's a grand finale question. So it could be, as the Al-Shech HaKadosh says, that, see, they're afraid of us. There's no reason why we can't go in. Or, Hayesh ba'etim ayin, as Chazal Rashi say, is there an Adam Kasher? Is there a upstanding, upright person? And who is this referring to? Referring to Eov, who lived in the land of Utz. What is the comparison between a tree and a tzaddik? So we know a kedam etzadik, that person compared to a tree of a field. Specifically, a tzaddik and adam kasher, they have the protective shade, and they bear fruit. Right? V'chazak t'malkach mipri aretz. Take from the fruit of the land. Be able to see who are the products of this person. That is going to be a good definition, how the person is able to spread their wisdom. Now we come to perhaps the core question. It's not only a question related to Eov, it's really a question that's related to all of us in the way we look at this topic, which again is a very, very complex topic, and we're trying to simplify it as much as we can. And that is, we know that any time a great tzaddik dies, in the last few months we've had great, the Kalever Rebbe, we've had great, great tzaddikim, great Hasidic luminaries who've died. And I think all of us have this feeling that when we hear of a tzaddik who dies, so like, you know, aside from the feelings of sadness that we've lost this mentor and this father figure and this influence, right? We've lost the tree, so to speak. There's also this feeling like, oh no, right? The tzaddik, when they're alive, somehow protects us. And we feel a little bit more comfortable knowing that there are a lot of these tzaddikim around. And when these tzaddikim suddenly die, we're like, oh no, we feel so vulnerable, we feel so open, and we feel scared, like, what's going to happen? What's the power of the tzaddik? So you would say on the simplest level, the tzaddik itself, being alive, living in the land, is enough. That's a protection. Granted. Let's try to understand this a little bit deeper. We'll start with the Litvish approach, and we'll bring it to we'll move it into a Hasidic approach. And again, this is not at all the entirety of the subject. It's giving us what we call a tam, a taste. Source number 19. Rav El Yalopian Tzatzal points out, Lev Eliyahu, V're'eo b'mesils yisharim sham perik yutep v'msof v'tzofom asher katu v'zeh l'shonah. Shinei ra'ui l'chol chasid sh'itkavei m'masav l'tovat daro kulo. L'tzchol totam v'lakein alehem. Chasid, a righteous person, has to have in mind when doing whatever they're doing, whatever maisim, whatever deeds, whatever mitzvahs they're doing, they have in mind that this is going to be for the benefit of the klal, benefit of the community, and to be able to be mezakeh them, to be able to give them merit, ulagein aleim, and to protect them. And this is what the pasuk in Yeshayah says, and the imagery here is so powerful. Imru la tzadik ki tov, say to the tzadik, he's good. Ki pri malaleihem yochelu, and that the people will eat the fruits of his deeds, which is exactly what we're talking about here, linking a tzadik to the tree, and that we benefit, we eat from the fruits of their deeds. And this is the Tiresh Zev Ritzono Shel Makom. This is what Hashem wants. Sheyeh Chasidei Yisrael Mezakim Mechaprim Kol Shar HaMadregos Asher Bahem. That the tzaddikim have the ability to atone for, to daven for, to give us merit for all the levels that we're on. And he continues by saying, V'zeh Tzarich Sheyaseh B'Kavana V'Avonato. The tzaddik has to have this in mind when he's doing this, right? B'Shem Kol Yisrael, doing this mitzvah in the name of all of Klal Yisrael. V'gam B'Tfilato B'Poal, and also in davening. D'Hainu Shitpalel Al Doro, constantly davening for the people. V'Lechaper Al Mishitzarich Kapara, and asking forgiveness for those who need forgiveness. V'Lashi B'Tshuva Mishitzarich La, and helping people return to the straight and narrow path. V'Lolameit Sanegori Al Ador Kulo, and to be someone who's going to defend the entire people. The more a person shows love for others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magdil alav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also going to make him greater. The Elohim haroim hamitim shel Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu chafetz b'hem harbeh shemotrim atzmam al tzono. This is what Hashem is looking for, people whose whole concern is Klal Yisrael, the Dorshim Mishtadlim al Shlomam v'Tovatam b'chol hadrachim. And like a good parent is looking for ways to try to help people out, to try to bless people, to try to zakeh people in any way they can. Right? They say, for example, by Rav Avigdor Midler Zatzal, that he would go around and see a mezuzah on a doorway in Brooklyn, he would daven, this house should be protected, the people in this house should be protected. So that's thinking along the lines of cloud, that you hear an ambulance, and you say the person should have refuah shleimah, say kapitul tilum. This is being able to think about not only myself, but to be concerned about other people. So what is the greatness of a tzaddik? Very simply, the greatness of a tzaddik is to be able to constantly have the Jewish people in mind, whether proactively, mamish, teaching people, inspiring people, directing people, and in every action that they do, thinking about that this should be a schus for Klal Yisrael, davening for the people at all times. This is the koach of what a tzaddik is about. And again, Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll pick up on this theme a little bit, but in general, that's what we're talking about. If we move a little bit into the Hasidic realm in Source 17, this is Rabbi Elimelech Melzhinsk, selections from his Noam Elimelech, Source 17. How does a tzaddik nullify and abolish decrees and draw down blessing? It is all through the Holy Torah, to which he is constantly adding new and novel interpretations. As it is said, I have given you a path between those standing ones. The complete tzaddik with his abundant holiness can walk among the standing ones, the angels, and with his holiness He can take away the missions. He can take the missions away from these messengers and uplift the task back up to the lofty upper world, where there's abundant mercy, and the decrees are nullified, are annulled. Furthermore, the Zohar states that the Torah Sheba'al Peh, literally the oral tradition, literally means the Torah which is mastered by the mouth. And why is it called Torah Sheba'al Peh? It's because it's tzaddik, and this is a Gevaldic idea, who originates these Torah ideas, keeps his mouth holy. He does not speak needlessly, nor does he waste even a single word, heaven forbid. Thus he is Ba'al Peh. He is the master of his mouth. And therefore, somebody who has the mastery of his mouth has the ability to nullify decrees. Let's take this a little bit further. Rav Pinchas Friedman, Shilei Pinchas on Leit Ba'omer, quotes a very beautiful idea of the Magid of Kushans that the Chikover, Imri Noam, quotes. Pasuk says in Tehillim Lamed Gimel Yurchei, we're in the bracket in 20, Hine ein Hashem el yireav l'mayachalim l'chasto l'atzil imavet nafsham l'chayotam v'raav. Behold, Hashem's eye is on those who fear Him, those who yearn for His kindness to save them from death and to keep them alive in famine. And on this pasuk, the Gemara in Tanya speaks about a situation where Klal Yisrael are in a famine and that people are dying. And the question the rabbis have is, what should you daven for? There's an idea that im nevakesh rachamim al shnei dvarim iyashar, ki emis palim al shnei dvarim elam nevakesh rachamim al mitav arav nispol. There's an idea that when you're davening for something really, really hard, that you shouldn't, you know, daven for more than one thing. That it should be, obviously you can daven for more than one thing, don't get me wrong. What we're saying is that when it's a focused tefillah, like you do 40 days at the Kotel, or 40 days of Shir HaShirim, or Monday, Thursday, Monday, Shvil, it should be for one thing that you're davening for, a very focused davening. So the rabbi said, what should we daven for? Death? Or not starving. So they said we should daven that we shouldn't die, and we'll deal with the starvation. Another rabbi countered, no. He said, daven that we don't starve. And if we don't starve, Hashem will have mercy on us, and obviously we'll be saved from death. On this, the Imrei Noam says the following, something about it. He says, quoting the Magid of Kushnitz, who quotes the Tolos Yaakov Yosef, who quotes the Baal Shem Tov, a little bit of Chad Gadya here, and he says, in 21, Ech yesh l'tzadikim ha'koach l'vatel gzeiros ros. How do tzadikim have the ability to nullify evil decrees, right? We know of so many Hasidic stories, and of Litvish rabbis, who will daven, and the decree will be annulled. How's that? So he says, when there is a decree coming down from heaven, the decree comes down in letters, and the letters have to be formed into words. Like they say that all the Torah are a combination of Hashem's letters, Hashem's names. We just divide it into selections that make it words, but it's really all a combination of Hashem's name. Everything's about combinations. If you ever see the way certain Hasidic rebbes daven, they daven spelling out the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the holy name of God. It's a world that's perhaps a little bit unfamiliar to most of us, including myself. L'chein yish b'koach ha-tzadik ha-idei tefilato la'fochet ha-tzeiruf shel ha-gzeirum tzeiruf ra l'tzeiruf tov. And this is what the tzaddik has the ability to take that combination from the negative to the positive. L'masha, for example, tzara, tzaddik resh hay, trouble. You can change it to ritzay, finding favor. Pesha, sin, shefa, abundance. So therefore, my friends, when you take a look, he continues in 22 at the idea of mavet. Mavet is death. You add the letter ayin, ein Hashem el yireav. Those who fear Him have the koach of Ein, literally I, also Ayin, the letter Ayin, and you put Ayin into Mafet Yohama'ot, you have money. So when you daven that we should have, when there's a Mafet in this world, and you daven that there should be plenty, so you daven that instead of dying, you become rich. And that's the koach of the tzaddik to change the Seiruf Osios. As well as And that's Latzil Mimavet Nafshav, to save them from death. And doing so, Lachayotam Mirav, you keep them from starving because you've now made them rich. And this is also connected to, in 23, the idea that the ayin represents the 70 aspects of Torah. They are, as we noted, Torah Sheba Alpeh. They are very careful with their words, right? When they use the words, they're really masters, like Reb Chaim Kanyevsky Shlita, right? Instead of saying Bracha Vatzlacha, he says Buha. He's a master over his words. He's careful with every word he says. So the 70 represent the 70 ways of learning Torah. So the tzaddik has the ability to turn this through the koach of the peh, through the koach of learning Torah, the ability to turn the negativity into positivity. And that's, in fact, what the pasuk, which we say, many people have the custom of saying, when you lift up the Torah, it's chayim yil machazikim v'somcha mushar. But we then say, or in the second paragraph of 23, mishlei gimel tzayin, orech yamim bimina, length of days in its right side, v'smola oshev v'kavo, and on the left side is wealth and honor. So we see here that even if a person is worthy of death, if a person's involved in Torah, then they're able to turn the orech yamim bimina, length of days on the right side, and wealth on the left side. Just to add here, parentheses, that we have seen before, that the idea of a tzaddik being making, the tzaddik protecting, is the whole idea of also going to kivrei tzaddikim, going to the graves of righteous people. We saw it on Parshat Shlach. Going to the graves of righteous people also has this ability, not only the righteous who are alive, but the righteous who are no longer alive have the ability, in Shemayim, so to speak, to gain a protection, to daven, the kawach of tefillah, for a person. This is particularly, you see this in the asterisk in 24, so a Yisrael Torah, Shav Rabbi Masar Midor Lador, that's brought down in tradition, that a person needs help in Gashmis, physical things, Parnasa, Beruchnias, and spiritual things, money, health, to go to the kever, many tzaddikim, but particularly the kever of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in Meirom, and many, many people. And you hear many, many stories, not only on Lag BaOmer, but throughout the year, many people who go to his kever, and they say to him, you, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you made the statement, Yachol Ani Liftor Kol Olam Kulo Min Adin. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says he has the ability to save everyone from judgment. And we say to him, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, remember what you said, and please be a Melis Yosher. Please be a force to be able to answer my tefillos here. And we've seen over and over again that there's a koach of the tzaddik. You know, and it's in all areas. I can just tell you personally that one of my daughters has a friend who's the oldest, 17, oldest of 9 children born right after her old girls. So we're talking about 10 girls. The Sardi family, you know, they say bad is ben tavo. When a Sardi has a girl, they say bad stands for a son will come. Right? They're waiting for the boys. So after 10 girls, which is a little bit much, went to daven by the kever of Shimon, and the 11th child was indeed a boy, the chazan for the minyan of the girls. Another story I know, someone who had 5 girls, went on Lag BaOmer and davened the entire Tehillim. And 9 months later, had a boy, Zion Adar, and they called him Shimon Moshe. Right? Again, the koach of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, the koach of a tzaddik. Now, it's very interesting. We'll just make mention in 26 that the Tiva Torah says, it doesn't say here whether a tzaddik's living here, rather an Adam Kasher, an upright person. V'asher l'momi zeh musar haskel gadol. You learn a big musar haskel here. What obligation is put on a person that they should be anashim ksherim, proper people, because it could be very well be that there are people around us who are anashim ksherim, who are upright people, v'lav dafka tzaddikim, and they're not necessarily righteous people, and in their merit, they're able to protect people around us and be able to save us from challenges. So, like, you know, respect everyone around you. You don't know who is this Adam Kasher. And in fact, Rav Biederman, in source number 27, points out an idea. It's originally brought from the Rebbe of the line of the Rebbe of Sons, who says, and this is a gewaltic idea, we normally think, Sha'olam to'im v'mashach hoshim, Sheminyan lamav avsadikim, Yistarim elu anashim yistarim achrei klaim, V'darim komov nidachim v'en hashim akirim otam. We think, you know, we talk about the Lamed Vavneks, the 36 hidden tzaddikim. Like, they're off in some corner in some far-flung place in the world, you know, some Karbach with the deepest of the deeps out in the woods, you know, Schwarze Wolf, that imagery of what a Lamed Vav tzaddik is. And he says, no, that's not true at all. Listen closely to what he says. Ela b'chol shah v'shah, at every hour of the asterisk from 27, Mishtanim alam v'asadikim. It's not, these are the 36. He brings this idea that this is a constant, changing 36. Ki b'rega zeh kasher yitgaber ploni al yitzro zechah b'scharzeh lechashe ben lam v'asadikim. A person overcomes their yetzer, a person's waser nefesh, a person does something very difficult, at this moment he is counted as one of the lama vav tzaddikim, and the next moment someone else can be counted. Which means, my friends, that each and every one of us has this ability to hold up the world, and each and every one of us may very well be one of those people that's holding up the world. We can be considered, at any given time in our lives, more than once, to be one of the lama vav tzaddikim. Which brings us, my friends, just to take this down into our lives, and then we'll end this level again, bringing it back to Eov, with Shvili Nivar Olam, Rav Brazil, where he talks about from Nachman of Breslov. We've gotten a whole slew of Hasidic masters here today, from many different sides. Sheyesh l'chol acha v'cha b'chinas malchus. V'chol acha l'fi b'chinato keng yesh lo b'china malchus, yeshu sari alofim sari meos. All of us are kings. All of us are in charge of many people beneath us. And we have to appreciate this. And this is Pshat, he says, of the Sfat Emet. We daven in the Rosh Hashanah davening, Yom Kippur davening, which is around the corner. Melocha kol lam kulo b'chvodech, Hashem rule over the whole world with your glory. So, Tzarich liyori karba kasha l'atzmeinu, shekol adam yisrael nikam alam yisrael atzmeinu, we're each called the mini world. V'kifi mashek mekablim al atzmeinu, to the extent that we accept godliness upon us, kach nimsam yisah hara l'chol haklal, melocha kol olam kulo b'chvodecha, when we allow Hashem to rule over us, then what happens? Then melocha l'aretz kulo b'chvodecha, Hashem's glory is found in the entire world because of our acceptance of Hashem. That we have to understand that there is, and this is very much a yesod of Yiddishkeit, that I don't live on my little island, right? Robinson Crusoe. No. I am affecting those around me. Indeed, this is the idea that Chidushei Arim says in 29, of a bar, the simcha of a bar mitzvah. Bar in Aramaic is chutz. That the simcha is that now I have to be responsible for someone chutz mimeni. There's a mitzvah upon me to avarevos that I am now responsible not just for myself, for the first 13 years or 12 years for a girl. I'm now have a avarevos with all of Klal Yisrael. And all my actions are going to affect all of Klal Yisrael. And what I do will affect them. As a very famous idea of Yaakov Chevel Nachlatov Rishon Salanter, that a person davens appropriately in one part of Europe, he can stop an intermarriage in Paris. That what we do impacts other people. And this is a gewaltig pshat in the pasuk of David HaMelech, Pei Dalechet and Tehillim. Ashrei Adam Oz Lo Bach, praises the person who has strength. Mesilos Bilvavam, pathways in their heart. It begins in the singular, and ends in the plural. How do you understand this? The answer is simple. When a Jew, a simple Jew, works with all their strength, Oz Lo Bach, to serve Hashem, they then create pathways in many other people to enable them to have an easier time serving God. It enables them to be inspired. When I work on myself, in any mita, I don't get angry. I'm giving to someone who's difficult to give to. Whatever the mita is, I overcome that mita. It doesn't just affect me that I've overcome this mita. It affects a lot of other people who will suddenly be able to say, hey, I can do this. But, oh, I understand how to get through this. I can... Milsilos bilvavam of people I don't even know. That's the relationship that we have as the Chasam Sofer says, Re'e Anochi Notein Lifnechem Hayom Brocho Klola. Everyone has to look at in front of us, each and every one of us. The path of Brocha and Klola, what we decide to do, is going to put in front of us either blessing or curse into the world. That's the responsibility that we have. And he brings in 32, in the arrow, the very famous story of an individual came to the Chavit Chaim for asked for a bracha. Chavit Chaim gets very mad. He says, get out of here, I never want to see you. You're one who's killed millions of people. Me? You got the wrong fellow. He says, you were a malamed, you were a teacher in such and such town. And there was once a very bright boy, we would call probably an ADHD boy today, right? Or I don't know what we'd call him. A brilliant boy who couldn't sit. Right? And instead of being able to deal with him with love that you would need to do, and he could have become a great Talmud Chacham, he threw him out of Cheder. And he became Leah Trotsky, right? Label of Trotsky. And you're responsible for that. Whoa, that's intense. On this level, how do you understand the end of the pasuk? You may be kurei anavim, says the Osnaim LaTorah. You may be kurei anavim, you may tanugim v'halulus. It was days when the wine started to come out. It was days of drinking and partying. And people can get into trouble. What did Eov do? So we know in 34 and 35 that Eov's children used to have parties every day. They would go to different brothers and sisters have parties and invite the rest of the family. Eov, every time after a party, would bring a korban and ask Hashem to forgive them for anything they may have said or done during the party. Eov was a personality who knew how to take the koach of tefillah, the koach of korban, and daven for his family, daven for the people to gain forgiveness. And that is a distinction between, we raised before, between Noach. Noach wasn't able to daven. Noach only thought about himself. A tzaddik who only thinks about himself is not going to be a tzaddik who's going to protect the rest of the people. And Eov, who had his tent open to all four sides, who was interested in influencing the people, who went out, who was that prototype of really an Avraham Avinu, and who davened, and who brought korbanos, that's the person who has the ability to protect the entire people. My friends, that was level number one. Let's briefly do level number two. So let's just to recap level number one. Hayesh ba'etz imayin. The eitz, the towering tree, is Eov, the land of Utz. Eov who davened for the people. Eov who is a protection for the people. A tzaddik is somebody who goes out and protects the people. A tzaddik is someone whose power is in the mouth. Baal Peh, Torah Shebaal Peh, someone who knows how to change the Serufei Osios, who knows how to change the combination of letters, who knows how to bring it back to the source. And my friends, albeit we are not in the level of, most of us, on the level of tzaddikim who have the ability to do that, we do have the ability to daven for other people. We do have the ability to influence other people directly and realize that everything we do influences others indirectly as well. When we work on ourselves, Ashrei Adam Oslo Bach, Silo Spilfafo, you have no idea of the impact of our actions on others, and that's one lesson that we need to learn, that the imagery of a tree should be that imagery that stays with us in our own lives, that we have to make sure that our tree is strong and the roots are strong, and then we have to realize how our actions branch out and affect other people, leaving no one untouched, puns intended. Source 36, second level. The old Moshe brings the Zohar HaKadosh that says the following. Moshe Rabbeinu asks the Meraglim, Hayesh ba'etz im ayin, haynu im yesh ba'etz ha'chayim. Is there the tree of life? Which is strange, the tree of life is in Gan Eden. What was he talking about? So he explains that if a person is able to live in Eretz Yisrael, in the world of nature, that's the Yetzer Chaim. And that's the godless of Eretz Yisrael, and that's the challenge of Eretz Yisrael, that you're going to have to be able to live in the physical world, finding godliness, finding spirituality, taking the Truma, taking the Meiser, being able to take this and serve God. And indeed, notes in 37, the Chidushei Harim, he says that's why we have the end of the pasuk of Ayamim you may be Kurei Anavim, that had Klal Yisrael been worthy, had the Meraglim been worthy, that grapes that they took could have been the Bikurim. They could have come into Eretz Yisrael and had the final tikkun and brought the world back to the level of perfection. But something went wrong. What went wrong? Let's try to understand this from an insight. We've seen some of these ideas before. However, we're going to bring it home and bring the grand finale in ways that we haven't seen before. From the Talei Chaim, who needs a Refuah Shleima, Shebi Yischus, this learning. And he says the following in 38. Let's just give a background a little bit before we enter into our Pesukim. You have the Pasuk describing Rachel Imenu and Leah Imenu. Rachel Imenu is Yifat Tov, Yifat Mara, and Leah Imenu is Veinei Leah Rakot, her eyes are soft, her eyes are beautiful, as Rashbam says. Why are we focusing on Rachel Imenu being the completeness of Rachel? Well, Leah Imenu is just the eyes. So Zohar HaKadosh explains that Rachel Imenu, the outer beauty, is known as the Alma Diskalia, the revealed world. Leah Imenu, just the eyes, is the Alma Dikasya, the concealed world, right? We know the eyes are the window to the soul. And those two represent two prototypes of the perfect relationship, and that's in Klal Yisrael. What do we mean by this? Rachel Imenu is about being able to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, being able to see how you can work in the physical world and be able to elevate it to God. Leah Imenu is about more the ivory tower, that being able to sit in your Dalet Amos and your four cubits and be able to connect to God without being so involved in the physical world. It's more the concealed world. And that's why he continues in 38 and 39 and says that Yitzhak Avinu, when he saw Esav, he understood that Esav was a man of the fields. Why did he want to bless Esav? Because that's the goal. The goal is to take this physical world and elevate to the spiritual. Yaakov Avinu, who's Yosef Olim, who's sitting in the tents, doesn't need that. He's living in a different world. And that's why the original plan is that Esav, who's out in the field, should marry Leah, who's in that spiritual heights. And Yaakov Avinu, who's in the spiritual tent, should marry Rachel Imenu, who's the shepherdess, who's out there in the physical world. And there'd be a perfect balance for both. When Yaakov Avinu takes on the bracha of both, when he's now, Anochi Esav Bechorech, now he takes on the bracha, Ve'item Chalukim Yital Shemayim Shemane Aretz, Rob Tagam V'tirosh, he takes on the dua, the land, the physical world. So now Yaakov Avinu is the composite of both the Yoshev Ha'olim, the spiritual, as well as the physical. Hence, he deserves now to marry both Leah and Rachel, because he has now both. And he'll marry Leah first, because he's taken on the role of the Bechor, of the oldest one of Esav. And therefore, Leah, who's the oldest, will take on that, and then Rachel Imenu will be married second. With this, we can appreciate, in source 40, that we take a look at their children, you see that this dynamics occurs. Really, the argument, the Svarim say, between Yosef and Yehuda, why did the brothers want to sell Yosef? What was their problem, right? Was Yehuda, which represents the children of Leah, where you have to be insular. You can't go out there, right? You can be a king, but you're king just over the people. You're not out in the outer world. And that's why from Leah comes Levi, comes Yisachar. These are the people who are involved in the Kotlei Beis Medrash, in that insular world. Yosef, who's a child of Rachel, says, no, our job is to go down to Egypt. Our job is to be the viceroy of another nation and say, Biladai Elokim Yanesh Shalom Paro. And to be able to say, no, it's not me, it's God. And to have Hashem Imo, that Hashem is with him at every stage of the way. Yosef HaTzadik represents what Rachel Imenu's child is all about. Being able to go into this physical world and be able to elevate it. It's very hard. It's very challenging. It's very hard to be able to be that Kiddush Hashem, that walking role model. It's very hard even within from people to live a life of Torah and Yirat Shamayim. Nasata v'natata v'emunah, as we've spoken about at length here. Did you do your business ethics with faithfulness, with honesty, with nemanos, with the realization of emunah that God is watching over you? So with this, my friends, we can begin to appreciate in 42 the dynamics. Moshe Rabbeinu and that generation represented the world of Leah Imenu. They were eating manu all day. They weren't working. They were sitting and learning Torah all day. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't even have to make clothes. Everything was given to them. This is the perfected world of Le'emenu. The question that Moshe Rabbeinu had is, Hayeshba Eiti Mayim 42, Ramaz Lahem Shebezot Yibachin Hayim Bu V'chol Ador Shalom Yikansu L'Art Yisrael. He wanted to know whether this generation was capable of entering into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore he asked them the following. He asked them, Hayeshba Eitz, Eitz Achayim. Is there the Eitz of Torah in Eretz Yisrael? What does this mean? Understand deeply here. Hamilim Hayeshba Eitzim Ayin. That phrase, is there a tree or not, is almost word for word the same question that Klal Yisrael asked right before Amalek attacked them in Masa Marifa when they just left Egypt. They said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im ayin. The word Hayesh im ayin. Mamish, the same word. Is God among us or not? Which the Zohar HaKadosh explains to me, can we relate to Hashem only on the level of Yesh, where I apprehend Him and I see Him and it's clear? Or are we able to interact with Hashem on the level of ayin, of nothingness, where I don't see Hashem, where I'm planting the ground and you don't see godliness at every moment? Are you able to find God or not? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im ayin. That was the question. Hayesh ba'etzim ayin. Are you able to see the im ayin? Are you able to see the Eitz HaChayim in the world of ayin, the world of nothingness? Are you able, you, Dor HaMidbar, are you able to be worthy to enter into the land and be able to see the hand of God in every single moment that happens? And it's no accident, he says, that who is the one who destroys Amalek? It's B'nai B'nashel Rachel, it's Yoshua, because he has the ability to go out in that world and see the ayin, and see God in the nothingness. 44. They come back. What do they bring back with them, right? The logo of the tourist industry and some wine companies. And that is, I don't know what the tourist industry would choose this, but that's a different story. Grapes on poles. My friends, we know that the grapes were what? Were the tree, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, of the Eitz HaDa'as, of the tree of good and evil that they sinned with. What they were saying is, no, we can't see the Eitz HaChayim. We only see the Eitz HaDa'at. We only see challenge in here. We only see downfall. We can't see the Eitz HaChayim. What would they bring back for the Eitz HaChayim? I have no idea. He doesn't say. I don't know. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw that fruit, he says, we're finished. They can only see the Eitz HaDa'at, they can't see the Eitz HaChayim. There's no way that we can enter into the land. And that's why who does enter into the land? It's Yoshua. Who is? We've been asked of Rachel, from the children of Rachel. So now, my friends, we have a bigger picture here. What is Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im ayin? Is Hashem among us or not? That's Hayesh Ba'etzim Ayin. Are they able to see the Eitz HaChayim? Are they able to see godliness in the physical land? And they weren't able to do so. Kalev was able to do so for the children of Leah. Hidavin of the Kivri Avos. Yeshua was able to do so. The rest of them were not. It's Yeshua, not Kalev, who leads the people into the land. Even though they say Kalev to some degree was even greater than Yeshua, he's mentioned higher up on the list. But you have to have that quality of Rachel Imenu. My friends, what is our message for us on this level? And with this, we'll Rav Hashem will conclude. The gentleman King Rabbi Feldman, very beautiful ideas we've seen, with the letter Hey, Hashem created them. The world is patterned according to spiritual reality expressed by the letter Hey. What does this mean? The letter Hey in the script used for writing sacred texts is formed by combining two other letters, the Dalet and the Yud, with the Yud turned upside down and placed inside the Dalet. These two letters, by their shapes, represent the respective realities of physicality and spirituality. A Yud symbolizes the idea of a point, a thing which has neither length nor breadth, which exists only as an idea in the mind. Spirituality, too, has no physical dimensions that cannot be perceived by the senses. It can only be apprehended by the mind. Therefore, its best representation is a geometric point, a letter, a Yud, which consists essentially of a point of ink. The letter Dalet, on the other hand, in the bracket, consists of two spreading perpendicular lines symbolizing the axis of a geometric plane. Length and breadth, thus Dalet represents the reality of the physical world. Hey is a combination of Dalet and Yud, representing the idea of spirituality entering into physicality. The purpose of creation is to imbue the material world with the sanctity of the divine. It was given to inhabitants of a three-dimensional physical world, Torah, possessed of animalistic instincts and drives, and commanded them to use their free choice to develop, in spite of the physical limitations, a sense of closeness to the divine. Rabosai, this is our challenge. Our challenge is to be able to find the Eitz HaChaim in Eretz Yisrael, or wherever we're living, using Eretz Yisrael in the global sense as a physical world outside the bubble of the Midbar. When I am going shopping, and I know I have a neighbor who just had a baby or wasn't feeling well, or whatever reason it is, and I call them up and I say, you know what, I'm going shopping to the X store, do you need anything? I mean, that example is becoming moot these days, no one goes shopping, everyone just, you know, goes on the computer. You can say, I'm going on the computer, would you like me to order something for you, whatever it is, right? Doing an Amazon order, would you like to, right? Whatever it is, I'm going to a dry cleaner. Do people dry clean in their house these days? I don't know what they do. Whatever it is, I'm going on this errand, can I be of help to you? Be able to think of other people. That's putting the yud into the Dalet. When I live my life where I'm able to find the spirituality and the physicality, when I'm able to say a bracha and I stop and I wake, you know, someone's about to come into the car, let me say a bracha so someone else can answer a main, someone's about to come into the room, I'm able to take physicality, that desire to eat, and hold it, and I wait for the yud. And when I'm honest in business, and all of these challenges that we have, that's what life is about. And the end of the asterisk in 48, this is why the hay has such a big opening on the bottom, because it's so easy to fall out. And that's what the rabbis were afraid of. The Mefarshim say they couldn't see how you could live in Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to stay in the desert. They wanted to stay in that spiritual bubble, because it's so easy to fall. It is easy to fall. And the hay has a very small opening on the top. It's much harder to get back in there. But my friends, if we had to describe what our lives are about, this is what it's about. 47 in the dot. It was to be a difficult climb back into the garden. Man would have to reject an evil which was now part of him. He would have to seek a new entrance to the hay-shaped world and squeeze his way back into this lost domain. 20 generations after expulsion, Avram took up the challenge of returning man to Edom, of living according to the values of which man was created. Jewish history, which is the story of Avram's descendants, is the accounting of how this nation moved mankind towards ultimate goal. Each era of Jewish history represents a test for Jewish people and a publication of another element of the evil which has become part of man's nature. And finally, in the arrow at the end of 48, the cumulative effect of all these tests will move the world toward the elimination of evil from man's mentality and his society. This will sufficiently weaken the power of evil in the world to enable mankind to recognize its creator as king. And this will usher in the era of Mashiach, the great return to the Garden of Eden. And my friends, it's for us to understand on the first level that the towering tree is not just Eve. We are the towering tree. We have to understand that each and every one of us has influences way beyond even the locale that we live in. We have to recognize that power that we have to daven for others around us. And on the second level, we have to understand that our job is to bring back that towering tree, that Eitz HaChaim, into our lives. That's the overwhelming tree, the tree of Eitz HaChaim Yilam HaChazikim Ba, the tree of life to those who hold on to it. We have to hold on to it for dear life. We have to ask ourselves, a cold side v'shal at every step of the way, is this Ritzon HaBore? Is this the will of God? Am I been able to put that yud into the Dalet? Am I able to elevate the physicality into a world of spirituality? When we do that, we are hanging on to that towering tree, and in so doing, each and every one of us has the ability to bring that final day, bring ourselves back to that Garden of Eden, that one moment closer, that one hour closer, and we all have that ability and that mindset of coming back into the hay and living in the perfected world that Hashem has envisioned.